Now, how do we recognize the false teachers? We look at the content of their character. They follow empty ways, ways that the end of are death. They speak empty words. And finally, they make empty promises. Go back to 2 Peter chapter 2 one last time. Verse 19, it says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. False teachers want to water down the word of God. That's what he's telling us. They want to claim the word of God to be intolerant if it's interpreted literally. They don't want you to believe the word of God. Because if you believe all of the word of God, then you wouldn't believe in what they were doing. Because they're false. And they encourage that it be interpreted so that it includes everybody. That it's all just about love and there's no justice. That God just loves you all. And it doesn't matter what you do and how you live. That there are no absolutes. That you know, you can interpret it any kind of way you want to so that it meets your needs. The Bible says they promise them liberty. And that's what that's all about. That's what it's all about. You're free to do whatever you want to do. They promise them that. A freedom. The Bible says that they don't have themselves. Why not? Because they're servants of corruption. He said they don't have the same liberty they're trying to give you because they're bound up in their hearts. And the Bible says, for whom a man is overcome, or whatever corruption it is that a man studies or commits to, that's what he's a slave to. Amen. Can I put it another way? Where your heart is, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. That's what he's telling us. Where your treasure is where your heart is. He says, and if you're not serving him, then that's where your heart is. That's where your treasure is. He says, a man who claims that he's free, but he doesn't want to abide by the word of God, then he's just living a life of corruption. That's exactly what he's doing. Now I want you to see how false teachers teaching about liberty is still not new. There is nothing new under the sun. I've told you that. They promised them liberty, and there's been the promise of liberty from the very beginning. Go back again to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3, page 2 in your pew Bibles. Peter says one of the tricks of the false teachers is they promise you that the word of God, the way that the strictness of the word of God, to follow every one of God's commands, to live your life the way that God says live it, is not necessary. That God is not going to get you if you decide to do things your own way. That is not a new trick. It's been a trick of false teachers from the very beginning. And Adam and Eve were met by the very first false teacher. He was the devil. And he followed an empty way. And he spoke empty words. And he made empty promises. Because he already knew what his end was going to be. And he was just trying to get others to jump on the bandwagon. He used the same tactics of today, making some empty promises. Look in Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, the one who was spilling out empty promises, ye shall not surely die. Amen. Do you understand the principle here? This is the very first false teacher. This is where they got their training. This is where they got their training. He says, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when these empty words seep into your heart, this is why you got to be bulletproof in your faith. Because Adam and Eve, I want you to understand that Adam and Eve had been in total communion with God. You read earlier in the Bible, it says that Adam and Eve, God came to see them in the evening time. They were communing with God. They heard the voice of God. It's like God was checking in going, well, how'd your day go today? What'd you do? What's your name new? Show it to me. You know, what'd you do? What have y'all been occupying yourself with? And God was talking to them. And here this false one comes in and says, that is not at all what God said. That's not at all what God means. How many times do you think God had misled Adam and Eve? I'm thinking a total of zero.
Amen.
He had given them very clear commands. He had told them exactly what he expected. And here comes one who says, that's not what he meant. Not at all. Well, that's how the false teachers get you. They promise you freedom and liberty. They make false promises that they can never keep. He told them he knows that once you eat that, you're going to be like gods. It's going to be so good. You know, and the idea of being like gods was so tempting to them. But the idea of being God's children was just not enough.
Amen.
Y'all hear me? The idea of being God's children is oftentimes not enough for people today. They want to rise up. Want to be so much more than that. So much better than that. And that's how false teachers get you. You shall not surely die. And that thing which had not been a temptation at all to Adam and to Eve became a great temptation.
Amen.
Because they let a false teacher plant the seed. Y'all hear me? This is why we got to be careful, because they plant seeds. They plant seeds. You know, I'm oftentimes talking to people about what they hear, what they allow themselves to listen to. And people will say so many times, oh, that stuff doesn't affect me at all. I just love the beat of the music. I just love it. But the lyrics, I'm not taking all that stuff in. It don't mean nothing to me. Guess what? Planting seeds.
Amen.
Planting seeds. Planting seeds. That's why on the television show they're introducing these things to us about men kissing men and women kissing women and a family is whatever you make it. They're planting seeds.
Amen.
Planting seeds. Thou shalt not surely die. Oh, it's not so bad. You see how it is? Look how happy they are. Thou shalt not surely die. Well, they're planting seeds. And before you know it, you'll be like Eve. And the Bible says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, they weren't lacking in food. But when they saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Y'all hear that the tree had been there the whole time.
Amen.
And they hadn't even been paying it any attention because they were fixed on the Father. But when the seed got planted, then they started looking at it. They started looking at it. Well, look, it does look good. You know, if God didn't intend for me to eat it, he wouldn't have put fruit on it. You know, you heard that kind of logic before. You hear me? Well, that's exactly where we get to. That's exactly where we get to. It says, and the eyes of them both were opened. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And when the false one had made the empty promises, guess what? He was done with them. It says, and then they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife, they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Why did they hide? He was still the same God.
Amen.
But sin had changed them.
Amen.
They had fallen after those who had forsaken the truth. And had gone the wrong way, and they had found out the hard way that the end thereof were the ways of death. So then the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, well, where are you? Not because God couldn't see him, but because Adam hadn't presented himself as he always had before. Where are you? It says, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? He did. Empty promises. And where did they find themselves? Out of communion with God. And if we fall victim to that, where will we find ourselves? Out of communion with God. False teachers are in it for themselves, guys. Not for us. They only care that their way is satisfied. They only care that their words fall into your hearts, into our hearts, so that we can become a means to an end. They make us promises that encourage us to do what they want us to do. But the thing that we got to remember is that God says that there is some accountability for us, and we better take heed to that. Now peek at one more time. I told you the last time, but I didn't mean it. But peek at 2 Peter chapter 2 one more time. God says there is accountability for us. And I'm almost done here. Verse number 20, he says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Why? He says it's hard if you have known the way of God and you have turned away from him. It's hard for the word of God to reach you again. Why? Because your heart becomes hardened, I believe. And the truth becomes somehow more complicated. And I think that God gave us a great example in Matthew chapter 12. Look over there, Matthew chapter 12, page 713. He gives us a great explanation as to why it's harder for us after we have escaped the pollutions of the world, that we get entangled again. It's hard to overcome. He gave us an example of an unclean spirit which had gone out of a man. Matthew chapter 12, page 713. Verse number 43, just a few verses here. He says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. That's when a man has been changed, when he's gotten rid of the unclean spirit. And he's made his heart right. But if you don't fill your heart with something good, look what happens. He says the unclean spirit is going out and didn't find a place to rest. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty and swept and garnished. He said that house is all cleaned up now. He says it's all swept and garnished. And then goeth he, and he takes with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. You know what he's saying there? He says, we turn and walk away from God. He says, oh, so much more stuff enters into the heart. And it's so much more difficult to make the heart clean again. God says that's what it's going to be like for this wicked, wicked generation. But Jesus says in a paraphrase that it's not what the false teachers teach that gets us. It's what we believe. They can teach whatever they want to. You know what I say? Don't take them off the TV because I got a remote. Okay? I mean, they can stay on there as much as they want because I don't have to hear it. And I don't have to let it plant seeds in my heart. I don't have to go there. But it's not what they teach. It's what we believe. So we need to set our sights on a faith in the true Son of God and in him alone. Let's close out in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, page 787. Jesus said if we will set our sights on him, then we won't have to worry. But otherwise, he said, we'll be like that proverb. The dog is turned again to his own vomit. The dog is turned to his own vomit again. You know, and for us, that's disgusting, isn't it? We think about that, we say, that is absolutely disgusting to even think about. you know, eating that which I have vomited out of the body. But he says that's exactly what it's like. And we will turn back to that which used to disgust us. But it's like now we've turned again. Or said it's like a pig that's been all clean. And now it goes and wallows in the mire all over again. But the for a dog to eat its vomit and for a pig to wallow in the mire is not unusual. That's exactly what they do.
Amen.
But God says we're not like brute beasts. That's not what we do. As followers of Christ, we're to live differently. We're to know better. And we're to follow after that which is true. In John chapter 8, verse number 31, just a few verses, and here we'll be done. It says, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Here's the key. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. It doesn't matter what other people are doing. It doesn't matter what they're saying. But if we will just continue in his word,
Amen.
Then God declares that we are his disciples. And guess what? He says, and you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. If you will continue in his word.
Amen.
They're going to keep throwing empty words and empty ways and empty promises. But if you will continue in the word of God, then you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. They can say what they want. But you'll still be free. And it says, and they answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus answereth them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. That's important. No matter under what pretense, he says, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. And if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed.
Amen.
If we continue in his word, then we are his disciples. And we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. We will know them by the content of their character.
Amen.
And they will know us by the content of our character. Jesus is the vine, and we are clean through the word which he has spoken unto us. Let's commit to stay clean in Christ. Let's commit to staying clean. Let's pray. Father, the truth of the matter is that there will be false teachers, and they will use tactics that are not new. They will use the same old tricks that the devil used on Adam and Eve so many, many years ago. But Lord, you've given us the best defense, the same defense that would have withstood the devil in the garden. Just continue in your word. And if we'll do that, Lord, we'll know the truth. And the truth will always set us free. I pray, Father, that we will stand on what we know of you, and that our heart's desire is that we will learn more of you, that we will try all things, prove all things, Lord, that when new things are introduced to us, that we will compare it to the Word of God, and we will let the Word of God be our guiding stick, our guiding light, be our determining factor as to whether or not we will follow. Lord, I pray that we will be bold in our faith, that we will be willing to say to those who might follow after things that are false, that we're following after Jesus Christ our Savior. Lord, I pray that we might not ever be tempted to water down the Word of God to meet our own needs. And I pray, Father, that we might be willing to declare as Paul declared, even if I come teaching about another Jesus, even if an angel from heaven comes and speaks another word, Father, that we might turn and run, that we might stand true on the Word of God, the full revelation that's already been given to us. Lord, I pray for those who are lost today. I pray that you will just show them your way, that the only way, the truth and the life. And I pray, Father, that they might come to know you as personal Savior. Use us for your glory, for the building of your kingdom. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.